Praise God, we are in the second grouping of the nine gifts of the Spirit. We have completed the revelation gifts, which is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, which reveal the spirit realm. Now we are in the second grouping, which is called the power gifts. And the power gifts are such that they are the most demonstrative of the gifts. They seem to perform and do something. And the groupings are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. A double plural. And tonight we are looking at the gift of faith. In order to understand the gift of faith, we need to touch a little bit on the working of miracles, because they both look miraculous in its accomplishment. And the gift of faith can perform miracles, but they perform it separately and differently from the working of miracles. Both are miraculous. Of course, the gifts of healings does tremendous healings, as we will see later when we touch on that. But the gift of faith and the working of miracles is not so easy to divide. Let's say if I were to ask a question, where does the gift of faith occur in the Bible? So some of you may say, well, what about turning water into wine? Is that the gift of faith or the working of miracles? Or what about Jesus walking on water? Is that the gift of faith or the working of miracles? Or is it both? And what about some supernatural healings? Is it the gift of faith or the working of miracles? And so we need to do a little a comparison as we look at that. And one of the differentiation that we have between the gift of faith and the working of miracles is that the gift of faith receives a miracle. While the working of miracles performs or do a miracle. It works out a miracle. And the gift of faith is where the person exercising it is not really necessarily active in stretching out a hand or doing something, but it's in a very rest state. Not necessarily considered passive, because the word passive today conveys a negative connotation of inability, but more in the sense of at rest while the miracle is happening. Whereas the working of miracles takes a lot of energy that is involved. And so we need to differentiate that. And the only way to understand the gift of faith is to see when it happens. Yes. To see it happening. And so we want to focus on the gift of faith. And one example of an obvious gift of faith is Daniel in the lion's den. Now that is a miracle. Was there any physical change or substance change? No. There was just the lions there and Daniel there. And Daniel just slept through the night. It was a miracle. Believe me, it was a miracle. And while some people may have a theory that while the lions were old, they were well fed, or they were tired, they were sleepy. You see the very next day that when the king threw the rest of Daniel's accusers into the lion's den, a lion's pit. Before they reached the bottom, the lions had torn them up. So those were fierce lions. It was a gift of faith that was working at that time in Daniel's life that prevented the lions from eating him. I don't know exactly what happened at night, whether Daniel used one lion as a pillow, another as his bolster, and another as his blanket. Right. I don't know what happened that night. You can go back to heaven and ask Daniel about that. It would have been an interesting experience. Was Daniel frightened? No. This is the miraculous part. all through the whole thing, you do not see him waver a bit in fear. He was just completely at rest, at peace. And another example is the three friends of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that was in the fiery furnace. We look at it closer to see how the gift of faith operates. As we define the gift of faith, it is the instantaneous impartation of faith to a person to a specific person for a specific task in a specific time. So it's just at that moment that's imparted. Daniel didn't go around after that, from that day onwards, inviting lions to his house and living with lions from that day forth. Neither did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decide to build a house in the fire from that day onwards. No, it was a specific time and place. We'll look at the New Testament examples of that afterwards. Today, in the church sense, the gift of faith sometimes people apply it to the realm of finances, where people have faith in order to believe God for something at that time. But it goes beyond that area. Let's examine this area of Daniel in the lion's den and see the gift of faith operating in receiving a miracle. The gift of faith. Book of Daniel. In the passage which we are looking at, is in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. So Daniel was found guilty of praying to his God. And the king, who found he was deceived in making that law, tried to deliver Daniel but could not. But in Daniel chapter 6 verse 14, and the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And why we are looking at this incident is, as usual, we want to find out how the gift operates, how it comes, and in what manner or what change did it occur, so that we can recognize the gift when it starts operating in our life. The gift of faith. So this man approached the king and said, you must, it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, where when the law is declared, even the king himself cannot cancel it. And in verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, immediately you notice something, that the gift of faith affected those around. Even the king began to believe that Daniel will be delivered. It was like how do I draw Daniel? Okay, there's Daniel. Oops, sorry, he's just sitting down. Okay, and he's praying, and it was like something surrounding him, like he entered into a bubble of peace, of calm, and that affected the king too. And so it seems to extend to cover the king. He felt the gift of faith. See, the gift of faith creates an atmosphere. It's not just faith in the heart. It seems to be faith in the heart, faith in the mouth, faith in the mind, faith in every aspect, and faith in affecting the atmosphere. That's the gift of faith operating. And in verse 18, the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. So the king was interceding. And the next morning, the king arose, went early in the morning, and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel said to his king, to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel. Now notice that besides being a gift that so powerfully affected the whole atmosphere, that gift brought forth angelic intervention. And so what we have here is not just a gift that operates in a natural realm, but it's a gift that operated and affected the spiritual realm. And indeed, the gift of faith is involved when you raise someone from the dead. In fact, why do we not see people raised from the dead that often? It takes three gifts operating together to raise a person from the dead. It takes the gift of healing to operate, because whatever sickness the person died of has to be healed. And it takes the working of miracles in order to resurrect the dead cells in the body. And it takes the gift of faith to call back the person's spirit into the body, depending on which stage the spirit has left the body. Imagine Jesus calling back Lazarus after 3 days. And even the people around says, in three days the body has rotted. That's why you need the working of miracles. Because the working of miracles has a change, which we'll study the next week, has changes the very atoms, molecules, or whatever you call it. It can rearrange the whole thing. That's how powerful the gift is. That's different from the gift of faith. The gift of faith has some sort of control into the spirit dimension. And when a person's spirit is called back from the dead, it's the gift of faith operating. Raising from the dead requires the gift of faith. So here we see the gift of faith operating where angelic intervention seems to be brought forth because a man or woman of God has exercised faith in God. But that faith was obviously supernatural. It was not ordinary day faith. And angelic intervention, of course, if that applies both to the kingdom of God, it would have an effect also on the demonic realm. You notice sometimes, and here is where it's important for us to open to this gift. Sometimes in an atmosphere when the intercessors are praying and praying, there seems to be a thickness that builds in the atmosphere, and people's prayer begin to take on an authority that's so supernatural. Can you imagine one tiny little housewife standing up, praying and rebuking Satan from an entire nation? Surely that takes supernatural working, don't you think so? I mean, we humans are fragile clay vessels, imperfect too. And Satan has been in existence for as long as the earth was created, if not before that. And all his demonic powers. And what about the angels of God who have been serving God before mankind was created? Here we are, clay little vessels, in a tiny little prayer meeting, not necessarily a big one. It could even be hidden from the public eye when no one knows about the prayer meeting going on. But suddenly the gift of faith drops into the atmosphere, and the little lady stands on a chair, if she wants to, and takes authority over demon powers in the whole country, which could be a very large country, could be like in US, and you have all these 50 states, and taking authority, wresting all the demon power. What kind of gift is operating? Is it just a gift of intercession? It's a gift of faith, my friends, operating. The gift of faith has an effect, a direct effect on the spiritual world. Angels or demon powers. And when a person operates the gift of faith, it is as if God himself was speaking the word. And that is why angels can intervene on that. It's a very powerful gift. Who?
You just mentioned that it's as if God himself was talking.
Yes. This one, where the word affects the spiritual world. Like, who gives a person authority to say, angels of God, go forth? See, that's not prophecy now, because prophecy is to the church. Now you're talking to angels. And so, the gift of faith drops on tiny, fragile clay vessels, part of the church, gives a person an authority to speak into the spirit world. And I would say that it happens very often in prayer, and many people miss this gift. You know how the atmosphere is built? Remember I talked about the bubble atmosphere again? I mean, under normal circumstances, that faith is not there. But somehow as the people gather and pray, that atmosphere is created. The atmosphere of faith was created. Have you noticed that every time Jesus wanted to raise someone from the dead, He chased most of the people up? Yes, the mocking ones, the unbelieving ones. Because He wanted the atmosphere of faith. And so those people are just resistant to the act of God. So there is a bubble atmosphere, as that's the word I can convey. I cannot think of any more dignified word, right? And so I use the word bubble atmosphere, and that has an effect. And the reason why sometimes we miss it is we don't recognize the gift. That's why we have to define the gift. It does too. Same thing. Yes. Correct. Correct. That's right. It happens in prayer. It happens in worship. It happens sometimes people are in deep prophecy. And a person moves from prophecy, the gift of prophecy, into the gift of faith too. Where they're prophesying to the church and then suddenly they're speaking to the spirit realm. And so it's a very powerful gift that's operating. You can see why it's a miraculous, but it's a different way of getting the miracle from the working of miracles. And it receives a miracle.
But is it almost the background for getting miracles?
Yes. All miracles take faith. Yes. All miracles take faith. But the effect of it is different. And so you have the gift of faith operating. It has a bubble effect, atmospheric effect. And you know that the gift of faith is there. Why? Because at that very point, at that very time, no doubt seemed to be able to exist in the atmosphere. No unbelief seemed to be able to exist in the atmosphere. And afterward, the clay vessels themselves could later on doubt what they pray. Could later on have doubts or some unbelief as to what happened. But while that gift is operating, you don't even doubt. You don't even have unbelief. There's just no space for that thought. It's like it cannot exist in the atmosphere of the gift of faith. And its existence has been banished with the light that came.
I think the instance is when Jesus heals the centurion's child, and he said, someone else, by your faith you've been healed.
Yes.
Do you think that they were using his faith? I mean, it must have been pretty easy to believe with Jesus.
That's right. Yes. That one can be related to the gift of faith in a sense of receiving a miracle. Yeah. But it's probably more in this area, the working of miracles, which we will see. It can come through a spoken word. Or something is done. Here in this area, we see 2 points on the gift of faith operating. One, it affects the atmosphere. Two, it affects the spiritual world. Angelic spiritual world, demonic spiritual world. It gives the clay vessel operating the gift a tremendous amount of authority and power. Why? Because this faith came from God. And God is a God of faith. And it's as if God dropped a part of His faith into the clay vessel. And they begin to speak like God. And only in that fraction of time, what the gift is operating. And so there we have angelic intervention in Daniel's time. And just to look at chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, in verse 24, to show that it's not because the lions were old or not hungry or whatever. In verse 24, when the king gave the command and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Then the children advised, the lions overpowered them, broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's how fierce those lions were. Those were very, very fierce lions. And we look at the incident of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's in chapter 3. And here we not only see what the gift of faith has, but how it affects a person. Right? It's not a gift that makes a person arrogant at all. As we will see in chapter 3. There were these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had created. The king by that time was very furious. And then look at what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when the king asked them to bow to the false god or false image. Chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So they had complete faith in God's ability. Now here we look at the effect on the human element. And we see that they believe in God's ability when the gift operates. You have total confidence in God's ability. There's not a shadow of doubt that God cannot do it. You know how people struggle? Many times people struggle with God's ability and God's willingness. And sometimes people know that God is able, but they are not sure whether God is willing. But when this gift operates, you know that God's ability is there. And you're quite confident of His willingness to deliver you if that is in line with your destiny and in line with the will of God. The second thing that we see operating is in their statement here. They say in verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. Do you see the willingness there? The ability and the willingness. They have no doubt as to God's willingness. No doubts at all. They know God is willing to do it. A lot of people, like the leper who came to Jesus, he says, you know, Lord or Master, if you are willing, heal me. Jesus, he believed in Jesus' ability, but he was not confident of Jesus' willingness. Jesus says, I will, be thou healed. And the leper was healed. And many times, out there in the world, Christians do not doubt God's ability. You know what the struggle is? God's willingness. Whether God wants to heal. And usually, I put it this way, that when it comes to healing and miracles, give it a shot. You know why? If you do nothing, the same thing is going to take place anyway, right? And if you do something, at least you know that you have done what you can. Right? And you don't lose by trying. You don't lose by praying. And many times when we pray, even if God doesn't answer in the way we expect, His answer comes in other ways. So, ability and willingness is established. And you go on here in verse 18. But if not, they said, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, what happens is these people's willingness to lay down their lives. Not that, you know that they are prepared to die, but they are willing to lay down their lives. To die if it is in line with the will of God. Let me ask you this question. If you know that by you dying, that 1 million souls will come to Jesus through that one death, would you have done it? I think most of us would lay down our lives because it's just in a short time you're in heaven. If you know the results that is going to take place if you lay down your life for, as a martyr for Jesus. And so if it's in line with God's will that they lay down their lives, they were willing and they don't hold it back. So it's not a selfish gift. It's a gift of surrender. A very surrendered life. Where they said, even if God doesn't do it, we are still not going to bow. That means even if this gift is not operating, we are still the same. We are prepared to be martyrs for God. And that is what the gift has an effect on these people. Now, very quickly look at how the gift operated and what happened. While they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, in fact, the king was so angry that he asked that the furnace be burned exceedingly hotter than normal. And it was so hot that the people who brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them into the furnace all got killed. That was how hot it was. And when they were thrown inside, notice the same things, the same points that we see happening here. That in verse 25, the king says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form on the fourth is like the Son of God. Who knows? Jesus could have appeared in their midst. And so, there we have the spiritual intervention again. Jesus was there. Or, an angel were there, you want, but most people believe it was a theophany, Jesus appearing, even before his first coming. And so, there was the fourth man, like the Son of God, in their midst. There was a spiritual dimension that was open. Spiritual dimension. Now, when the spiritual become tangible in the physical realm, that's the gift of faith operating. And here's a miraculous part in verse 27 when they came out. The fire had no power over them. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And here's the wonderful thing. The smell of fire was not there. I mean, ordinary cooking, it goes everywhere. If you just right now walk through that pub and come out, you probably have a bit of cigarette smell on you. These people went through the fire and came out without even the smell of the fire on them. I would guarantee you there was a bubble atmosphere about them. And the bubble atmosphere was so powerful and strong that all the molecules, atoms that has to do with the smell of the smoke or fire could not even cross the bubble of faith that was surrounding them. That's how powerful this gift is operating. Praise God. So be stirred up in the gift, recognize when it comes and recognize what it does. And we'll look at it again in the next session. Praise God.